At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
And we are live. It is not a Tuesday. It is not 10 p.m. It's not even two Canadians talking to you right now. It is myself, John Cena, Cena Evil, B Detroit. You might know us from What Up Though on the Poison Rana feed, but we are here representing Post Wrestling and Up Next and Poison Rana to talk about some NXT. B, how's it going?
It's going good, man. I feel like we just did this, right? We just did an episode of What Up Though, you know, like what, 2 weeks ago or something like that? Now we're just filling in for the boys, man, talking about some NXT.
Filling in for the boys as they celebrate Canada Day. I think it was yesterday. How did you celebrate Canada Day? You know, usually you go by the alias of Be America, but will you be Canada for one day?
No, I should have, man. But actually, I did see a couple. I did watch a Lance Storm match. I watched a Lance Storm match yesterday by mistake. It was a clip on Instagram. So celebrating Canada Day with a bang, you know.
Yeah, so did I. The WWE Vault's been putting up a lot of like new generation videos this week. A lot of Bret Hart, which I think today is actually Bret Hart's birthday, which kind of it's perfect. The day after Canada Day, of course, is Bret Hart Day. They put up a match. It was Bret and Owen against the Steiner Brothers, which I've never seen before. So I watched that and a couple other Bret Hart like commercials from back for the new generation days. So I guess that was my way of celebrating. And of course, got to rock the Poison Rana pink in honor of of Bret the Hitman Hart and Canada, of course. But yeah, before we talk about today's or like yesterday's episode of NXT, the boys will be back. Don't worry. Davey and Brayden just taking a little bit of time off, but they got a whole bunch of shows coming up this week, including tomorrow. They're actually going to be recording WWE Evolution 2018, the first one, as the new one is coming up in a couple of weeks here on July 13th. Do you remember the first Evolution? I remember trying to go to that show because it was on Long Island, not too far from me. And for whatever reason, I didn't get to go to it. And this year, it's the same issue where I'll be down in Texas. So I had to choose. Do I want to go to Atlanta? Do I want to go to Texas? And I chose All In. So I'll be going to that instead. But any fond memories of the first ever Evolution? And what do you expect from this new one?
Well, I would be lying to you if I said I remember the card from Evolution. I do remember like the moments, like the middle of the ring moments from Evolution more so. The commentary, that was a thing that stuck out because it was a totally different team. But I'm excited for this, man. I feel like it's overdue, but I don't think they could have did it at a better time when it comes to their, like their women's division on both sides, on NXT and regular WWE proper. But like, man, they're overdue for Evolution. But yeah. They couldn't do it. Like I said, they couldn't do it at a better time with Stephanie Valkyrie coming in. You got Julie as the Intercontinental Champion right now. Like it's a lot of good stuff when it comes to the women's division, and it's good so they can showcase their own work on their own pay-per-view.
I know it's WWE Evolution, but they got a couple matches announced so far, but I kind of wish they would have took this a direction of just celebrating women's wrestling in general, especially with them working with so many different companies, right? Why not bring in somebody from Marigold, bring in somebody from AAA, bring in somebody from TNA? They could still do that because they got a Battle Royal. I'm sure the Battle Royal might have some names that we're not too familiar with from other promotions, but I feel like that should be the overall like theme of this show is just celebrating women's wrestling in general, not just in WWE, but of course they got enough talent between Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Evolve, and all these other shows that that everybody watches. I don't watch as much as anymore because Shine and Dark, if you guys don't know, is on a hiatus. So my wrestling taken in has been a lot less nowadays. But yeah, I think Evolution will be a much better if it has a lot more talent outside of WWE. As well as Evolution, they'll be talking about the 1991 movie JFK, starring Kevin Costner, Kevin Bacon, Joe Pesci, Tommy Lee Jones, and a whole bunch of other actors. I can't say if I've seen this movie in full. Only thing I remember this movie is a very, very long movie, if I'm not mistaken. So hopefully Davey and Brayden have at least watched some of it in preparation, because last I remember, it's a pretty long movie. But yes, they had a little poll on the Facebook to try to stick with the Dallas theme of, things that have happened in Dallas, and JFK and everything revolving him is something that did happen in Dallas. So that is the one that won the tadpole. So they'll be discussing JFK.
If something happened in Dallas, it's crazy. But I've never seen that movie. And I couldn't tell you, who picks this? What is up with you sickos? Over the points around the chat, just picking these movies, man. But yeah, I'm going to watch it just because it's like book club type thing with Poison Round. Of course, I'm going to check it out. But
I forgot what the other choices were on the Facebook poll. I think it was like Dallas Buyers Club. I think it was like a Dallas Cheerleaders documentary that was on there, if not mistaken. But JFK pretty much won by a landslide. So the fellows will be talking about that. And both those shows are on the Poison Rana Patreon. But if you want some free BDE, some free Davey and Brayden, they'll be back live in the flesh this Sunday on their YouTube for the regular Poison Rana show. And they probably have a lot to talk about with Night of Champions happening this past weekend, as well as Monday Night Raw. A lot going on, going into both Great American Bash and Evolution. And AEW's has their big shows as well with All In Texas, which it's funny because the BDE are taking a trip literally from Canada all the way down to Texas, and they're stopping in your neck of the woods first, and then they're going to be with me down in Texas. So they're literally going to be mixing up with the What Up Doughboys before they go down to Texas.
That's cool, man. You know what? I'm still jealous that I can't, go with you guys to take. You know what? Davey's been telling me to just go and forget about my job. You know what I mean? I don't know if I should take his advice, though.
It's so irresponsible of Davey to tell you to just, give up on your job and go watch Kenny and Okada. I mean, it might be worth it. I don't know.
I don't know if I want to give up my job just to go watch Kenny. All right, maybe. But who knows? But no, I'm excited about that show, too. Just looking at the card, the more the card gets fleshed out, you're like, oh, yeah, this is going to be absolute banger. But, like, whoever doubts AEW's pay-per-views, though, at this time right now. So you just can't. They're going to have a banger.
And for any avid listener of our show, What Up, Though, they might know that we always tend to be, like, the lead-in show to AEW Dynamite. We always tend to record right before Dynamite. We always make predictions that always are proven wrong in the next, like, half hour after Dynamite airs. But tonight is a big episode. They got episode 300 with Okada versus Ibushi. They got Mercedes Moné versus Mina Shirakawa. And then they got a bunch of promotion with the Superman movie coming out. So a lot of, like, heroes versus villains matches throughout the show. So that's pretty cool whenever they are able to collaborate with their Warner Brothers partners, and this week being Superman. But I'll make my bold prediction since we're live right now. I think that Mercedes is going to drop one of her titles. I think she has way too many, and I see Mina taking that TBS title, freeing herself up to take the title from Toni Storm at All In. That's going to be my bold prediction going into Dynamite for tonight.
You know what? I'm going to ride with that prediction as well, because she's not Liger, so she doesn't need all the belts, But I don't know, man. I think they should. I think a picture of Moné with all the belts would, I think that's what they're going for anyway. You know what I mean? So let's just put a bow on that one, and then we can start the decay of her championship reigns.
Yep. And B did mention What Up, Though, a couple weeks ago. We did have an episode. We talked all about the Lil Wayne album and how much we love that Elephant song. And mad at myself, because the one thing I didn't realize as soon as we finished recording is literally the first words in that song that he says is "What up, Though?" And I'm like, we should send Lil Wayne a cease and desist. Using our name in such a horrendous song. But all jokes aside, we had some fun talking about that. We talked about the Switch 2 that I was able to get recently. Talked about the R-Truth run, the John Cena heel turn, and everything. And since we are the hip-hop heads, I got to get your opinion. What did you think of Punk Life, CM Punk embodying the Thuganomics of John Cena? And after that, we can talk about some NXT. But we need to at least discuss the Punk Life.
I actually dug his freestyle. I don't know who wrote it. That's what I really want to know. Who wrote those bars? And how long did he take to recite them in the back? Did he practice those bars a little bit? But they were pretty good. There were some pretty good bars. You know what I mean? I mean, what more do you say about John Cena than what Punk said? Some of those things, though, I wish his delivery were a little bit better on. But he wasn't really going for the whole rap thing. I like the drug free Nux. Those are tight. He needs to start selling those on WWE.com. push that, you know. But everything else, I'm gonna give Punk's flow. I'm gonna give him a six.
Six. That's fair.
I'm gonna give him a six. Yeah.
Honestly, wouldn't be surprised if John Cena was the one that wrote it himself. He's like, you know, I'll write the bars and you deliver them. Like, what, you know, he can write. He obviously did his own bars, his own raps when he was his Thuganomics character. So I don't hold it past him still having it in him to, you know, write a quick 16. No, you don't think so?
You know what Phil should have did? You know what Punk should have did? He should call it the franchise. He should have called the franchise of Bumpy Knuckles and asked him to write the bars. That'd have been even more, you know what I'm saying? That'd have been twist the knife in him one time, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you, though. The raps are good. The delivery could have used a little work. Wasn't embarrassing to see, you know, what, a 40-plus man dress up like, what's that meme with, you know, hello there, young kids. Like, that's exactly what I thought of.
Teenagers.
But Punk's done this before, right? He dressed up as Jeff Hardy once, so it's not like, you know, it's not against, you know, it's not something I can't see him not doing, so it is what it is. Like, you know, people might be taking a little bit too much. Oh, my God, he totally destroyed his career. It's fine. It was just a mockery. Just the same way that Cena mocked him the previous week with the pipe bomb. I think it was the same thing with Punk. So I don't think it's going to be something that's going to
corpsing the whole time. Did anybody see that? Like, come on. It was fun, man.
But yeah, we'll have another episode of What Up, though. I'm going to say probably at the end of this month, after my trip to Texas. I have a little trip planned for Orlando as well. And then when I come back, I think we're going to have a lot to talk about. There's a lot of summer movies with Jurassic World dropping today. I wasn't able to catch it today. I'm probably going to catch it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Superman, Fantastic Four. And then I know you finished it, and I finished that as well. Squid Game, the final season. We discussed the second season, and we're going to have to go into the third season of Squid Game, the third and final season. A lot to talk about.
We don't want to blow the spot,
sure. Yes,
but I'm excited to talk about Squid Games, Sino, because it took me a lot not to spoil that in the chats. All right, it took me a whole lot, man. It was, I needed to talk about it with somebody, but it was really
good, man. Yeah, I had to, like, once I started seeing, like, little hints of what you were saying, I'm like, okay, let me just finish this. Let me stop whatever I'm doing and watch that. No offense to Ironheart. That had to be put on the back burner. I'm like, let me just get Squid Game out of the way and watch that. So we'll definitely be discussing that. We'll have to discuss a Street Fighter movie, which I think is made for us, because you got Roman Reigns in it. You got Jason Momoa. You got 50 Cent.
50 Cent. It's going
to be Balrog. And now the new rumor is Cody Rhodes might be playing Guile, which I threw out there as a joke. Because, oh, yeah, it's got to be Cody Rhodes as the All-American Guile, right? And now there's reports out that he actually might be playing Guile. So that's pretty hilarious. Is WWE Studios behind this movie? Because they got a lot of their wrestlers in it, I feel like.
This isn't good for anybody that Cody Rhodes going to play Guile, okay? This isn't good for anybody. I'm excited to see if this really happens. I think this casting is all internet. I don't think it's actual casting. I hope it is, because it's the most outrageous casting I've ever heard in my life.
I think the only one that's not confirmed is a Cody Rhodes. I'm pretty sure all the other ones are confirmed. I'm pretty sure 50 Cent's confirmed. Roman Reigns is confirmed. All the other names. I'm pretty sure these are all confirmed names. So it sounds ridiculous, but you know what? The first Street Fighter movie was ridiculous when people are like, wait, the guy that plays the dad on Anna's Family is going to play M. Bison? That's ridiculous. And he ended up killing it. He was the best part of the movie.
He was the greatest, too.
So, you know, I have to watch this movie, and we're definitely going to discuss all the casting and everything going into this movie for sure. It seems like this movie is just made for us, for sure.
Absolutely.
But let's jump right into it. We are talking about a taped episode of NXT that happened last week, and we start the show with the TNA World Champion, Trick Williams, and the first words out of Booker T's mouth are, look at this man, all oiled up, looking real good. Now, we didn't get into that. We might discuss that on What Up, Doe, but maybe some bad timing talking about an oiled up man after, if you read the news, you might have heard a thing or two about an oiled up man.
Verdict is in, you know. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but the match here is Wes Lee versus Joe Henry. And what's funny about this is, so if you watch TNA programming, the match has been promoted as Joe Henry challenging Trick Williams for the title. Now, I guess the tapings that haven't aired yet for TNA reveal that it ends up being a triple threat match. And I guess this was taped last week with the notion that it's going to be a triple threat match, but there was this issue where TNA didn't announce it. And I'm like, how are they going to get around this? And out of nowhere, I think it was like Monday afternoon, there was like this random video of Santino Marella saying, you know what? We're going to put Mike Santana in the match and we're going to make it a triple threat. So a little confusion here with the tape schedules where they're like, TNA has to announce it if NXT is already promoting this triple threat match, but TNA hasn't promoted this. So a little bit of confusion with tape shows here, but they were able to, one way or another, get it resolved here through social media. But the first match here is Wes Lee versus Joe Henry. And like I said, Trick will defend the title against both Joe Henry and Mike Santana at TNA Slammiversary, which is going to be on July 20th. Henry starts the match by repeatedly taking Lee down in the middle of the ring until Lee fights him off with kicks and sends him to the outside with a hurricanrana before he hits him with a dropkick. Trick tells Lee to show Henry how they do it on the west side, just for Henry to take him down with a big clothesline as they go to commercial. And I think he was at a Corey or Vic saying, oh, that's the east side right there. You know, got to make the west side, east side east jokes side. Here.
Yeah.
We come back with Lee in control, hitting a beautiful twisting splash from the corner for a two count. Henry stops a satellite DDT attempt with a suplex before he goes to town, hitting a fallaway slam and sets up for the standing ovation, but Lee is able to avoid it. Henry hits a fireman's carry into a spinebuster. Nice move here from Henry that I don't think I've seen before. But Tyson and Tyreek are on the outside, and they're able to put Lee's leg on the rope to break up the count. They get on the apron to get into Henry's face, but Mike Santana runs out and takes them both out as Henry follows with a big standing ovation to get the pin at 6:30. So a nice little opener here. So it's funny because last week, I'm not sure if it was Dave or Brady that mentioned it, but I even myself noticed that like Joe Henry didn't really get that much of a reaction on last week's episode. And come to find out, this match was actually the first thing taped from the double taping. So this is the initial pop that he got was for this match. So when he came out here, he did get that pop. But I have to admit, like, I don't think there's a Joe Henry fatigued. I know people that don't even watch wrestling that, of course, know, like, your Cody Rhodes and your John Cena's. And the one person they know is Joe Henry. Like, they might not know anybody from AEW, but somehow his meme has transcended, like, wrestling. Because people come up to me and say, hey, do you know this Joe Henry guy? And how can I watch them? This is before he was even doing anything with WWE, believe it or not. So, he, you know, kudos to him for getting his name out there for people that don't even watch wrestling to recognize who he is. So, yeah, I have to admit, I'm not sick of Joe Henry myself. His wrestling isn't like, you know, the best, but his whole presentation and character, I think it still has a long way to go. I don't see it ending anytime soon.
I agree. I mean, those pops are going to get lower and lower, man. I mean, we're talking about the PC, who's pretty much comprised about the same, like, what, 100 people every week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course, the Joe Henry's, as the kids say, aura is going to go down in the PC. But I feel like once he starts getting in front of those bigger WWE audiences, it's going to be right back to normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I know we mentioned this on What Up, though, but I am taking a trip to Orlando in a couple weeks, and I kind of threw it out there on What Up, though, but I might reach a wider audience here on Up Next. But if anybody has a connection on how to maybe possibly get me a ticket or two to an Up Next taping the week of, what is it, in about 2 weeks or so, I think the 22nd, July 22nd, if anybody's able to get me seats to that, please let me know, because I would love to attend a Performance Center show and tell some of these guys to, you know, shut up in the crowd, because I do get annoyed by some of their chants that they have.
Later on in this show, we could talk about it, because I'm pretty sure you heard it too. It was a guy that, we'll get to it.
Yeah. And at the end of the segment, Trick, Henry, and Santana have a little bit of a stare down to end this segment, but there'll be more to come from these three later on in the show. We see footage from last week where Sol Ruka and Zarya are trying to tell Tatum Paxley to not trust Izzy Dame, but Izzy walks in and says that she knows Tatum wasn't trying to hurt her in any way, and she might have lost her match, but she won Tatum's friendship. Oh, how sweet. Zarya, though, is sick of this and walks off as Izzy says Zarya is already a team, so maybe her and Tatum will make a good team as well. I don't like the Zarya name. I'm sorry. I can't call him Zarya. It just sounds like one of those like commercials for, you know, take Zarya. Yeah, exactly. Y2H.
Take Zarya.
Take Zarya.
That's a good one. I like that.
But yeah, obviously the story here is you know, Tatum is trusting Izzy, but we can kind of see through it by watching wrestling our entire lives that Izzy is just pretty much just using Tatum to kind of get her own way, possibly. But I think, you know, Sol and Zarya are the ones that really are looking out for the best for Tatum here. And Izzy obviously has some bad intentions, as we'll talk about later on as well. Of course, I'm on the show, so we got to have our D'Angelo family segment, you know, as the resident Italian here on the post-wrestling Poison Rana Network. As Luca Cristofino makes his way down to the ring and says that Tony D'Angelo has been questioning his loyalty ever since Stand and Deliver. But after last week, he wants to put this to bed, so he calls out Tony D'Angelo. Tony comes out and says, oh, the tables have turned. Last week, Cristofino screwed him over on trying to win the Heritage Cup. So they go back and forth about who punched each other in the face first. But Luca says, you want to talk about loyalty? Let's talk about loyalty. Loyalty is leaving college with 1 year of eligibility of Duke University for the family because Tony asked him to. Loyalty is turning down job offers from top law firms in the country without hesitation. And he turned down everything for a chance to be in the WWE. And he's never done a thing to doubt Tony. And that's loyalty. I have to stop right now. Luca, I don't know. You made some pretty good decisions. Same thing with you, B. Like, you don't want to make a decision of quitting your job and going down to Texas to watch wrestling, right? So why did Luca, you know, quit school and quit these law firming jobs to go be like the third person in this D'Angelo family? I don't know if that was the right decision for Luca. What do you think? Would you give up all those opportunities to go be the consigliere of the D'Angelo family?
Absolutely not. What are you talking about, Luca? You got to make better decisions, brother. Come on. Well, This whole segment is confusing. We'll get there.
So then out comes the new Heritage Cup champion and Channing Stax Lorenzo as Luca tells Stax to shut the hell up as he's not part of the family. And this is between him and Tony. And then Tony says, yeah, this is between me and you. And what do you know? Out of nowhere, Luca Crisafino knocks out Tony D'Angelo with a right hook. So Stax, of course, is loving this. He goes into the ring. He puts his arm over Luca just for Luca to turn around and knock out Stax as well. Luca gets in a mic and says, my loyalty lies with Luca Crisafino, and he walks off. So a twist on top of a twist on top of the twist. Luca is not aligned with Tony. He's not aligned with Stax. He is a man on his own mission. And we still don't know what the hell happened to Adriana Rizzo and all this. She's still missing. But the next turn in this saga, this D'Angelo saga, is Luca's not working for anybody. He's a man on his own here. So, yeah.
You know, I expected him to say that he was loyal to... what's the girl? I'm so sorry. I forgot her name.
Adriana Rizzo? Rizzo.
I expected him to say he was loyal to Rizzo. I didn't expect him to say he was loyal. I'm like, where are we going here with this? You know, like, what do we do with this now? Do we have a triple threat? Like, I don't know where we go now. You know?
Well, I think she's still involved because if you remember last week or the week before when they were promoting this Heritage Cup match, Stax said that his own consigliere was the one that put him in the match, and it wasn't Luca Crisafino, so he needs his own consigliere, and I think that could be Adriana Rizzo. I think Rizzo might be the one that might still be aligned with Stax here, or maybe there's somebody else that we're not thinking of. Maybe it's maybe it's Nunzio, maybe it's Big Vito. Who knows? There's so many Italians you can pull up from the WWE alumni that I feel like can fill that role. But I feel like, yeah, I don't think we've seen the last of Rizzo. I think she might be the mastermind behind all this. She might be the one pulling the strings on these the D'Angelo puppets here, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Because like that'd be a better outcome than what this is leading to. Because like I said, this is only leading to a triple threat. That's the only thing that makes sense. But triple threat at what ends? What is this? What do we get out of this? Is it for the Heritage Cup?
How do you do that? How do you do a triple threat?
That's what I'm saying. Like I don't know where we go from this. But this is reminding me why I didn't like the dissension of the family. What are we doing here? This should have been a stable until we got to the main roster.
Yeah, to do like the Stax and like Tony had to like work together to defeat this new force that Luca might be behind. Who knows? I don't know.
Ooh, that's some real Soprano stuff, Cino.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Sopranos have a lot of twists and turns, and you know, you turn on somebody just to reform with them. You know, Sopranos was very similar to wrestling with a lot of the twists and turns and the heel turns and the babyface turns and everything. So it wouldn't shock me at all to see them. Eventually down the road, have to reform the family in one way or another to fight Luca and whoever is behind the Crisafino law firm, whatever the hell he wants to call it, I guess.
Yeah, because this act can't, none of these people from this act can make it up to the main roster solo right now. You know what I mean? Especially like keeping the same, the mafioso gimmick. No, you need the whole family to make this work. So that's this storyline now that in the places in it. It's just confusing me and why we broke up the stable in the first place.
Yeah, and this is something that NXT has been doing for a while. I mean, they did it with Chase U, right? We have like a pretty popular, established stable, and without even like attempting it on the main roster, they just break it up. So, and then, you know, they did it with Gargano and Ciampa also, where they broke them up and put them back together. So I guess they want to like do that back and forth, but something like a stable is a little bit harder to put back together than a tag team would be, right? It's kind of, you can't bring all Chase U back together and bring them up to SmackDown, or you know what I mean? So this is weird. Like the D'Angelo family as a stable would have, I think, worked better on the main roster, but for whatever reason, they decided to break them up and try something else. So that's why I feel like a story like this could eventually have some sort of reformation, at least with Stax and Tony, and maybe they can kind of do something and involve that into like a new D'Angelo family that eventually gets called up. Because I feel like Tony's been down here since the 2.0 day started. He was one of the first ever like 2.0 new faces here. With him and Bron Breakker. And look where Bron is compared to look where D'Angelo is. It's total night and day. So,
and Tony's not, he's gotten much better in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
He's not when he first, the first 2.0 stretch, I think it was just 2.0 that gave everybody the stink in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
But he's gotten much better in the ring. I think the only way out of this is that Rizzo's like compromised somehow, and they got to go join forces to get her back or something. That's the only way we get out of this and get that family back together. So hopefully we can move them back to the main roster when it comes to like what, draft season or something like that, you know, hopefully, because I think it's, they ran that course down in NXT right about now. They've held gold. They've lost gold. It's about time.
I actually like that idea. Like maybe like Rizzo being held hostage, right? And the only way to get it back is for have Stax, Luca, and Tony working together, and that's a way to reform them. So
have Nunzio have her hostage or something with the mixing of the families, you know?
You know, they do have a show coming up at the ECW Arena in a couple of months or so. So there we go. That could be the show.
Where tied up.
There we go.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's G1 Climax season, and that means the Post Wrestling Cafe has you covered with podcasts covering every single tournament match. Plus, we've got Rewind Away going back to 2005 to review Vengeance featuring Triple H versus Batista in a Hell in a Cell match. John and Way are going to be reviewing F1 the movie starring Brad Pitt. And of course, XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Ad-free with the news of the week and your feedback. Sign up now at postwrestlingcafe.com.
Go to the next match here. Lexus King versus Miles Bourne. And Lexus has some words for George Gums Jr. and Tyreek Sapp, who are still in the crowd from last week. Wow, they stayed there for an entire week. That's so crazy, right? Yeah. Representing the University of Florida football team. It's a college team, not a high school football team. Davey, just want to correct that really quick. And Tyreek Sapp, no relation to Warren Sapp, right? I don't think he's related to him.
Not that I know of. I can look into it. Look,
but they both played Florida, right? I don't think they played for the same. No, where did Florida, where does
yeah? Warren Sapp, he's from Florida. Well, he went to Miami. I'm sorry, Warren Sapp, Miami from Miami,
right? Because that was a whole squad with him and Dwayne and The Rock and all that, right? Because I remember watching that documentary. Yep. Like, well, that was a lot of popular football players came out of that one season. Oh, yeah. As soon as the match begins, though, Booker asked the cameraman to zoom in on Lexus's abs. You know, Booker was extremely on one, and I feel like when he's on a double taping, he just is on a double on one. He's on a two, I guess you can say, because he was just like asking for things that the cameraman was not going to do. He's like, no, I'm not going to zoom in on Lexus King's abs, and I'm not going to zoom in on his beard as well. As a commentary, took a couple shots on his penciled in beard.
Why Booker didn't just say the famous line, "You're looking real Jack, baby. You're looking real Jack." Because shout out Lexus King, though. He has put in that work, man. He's looking shredded to the gills. Shout out.
He has, yeah. I have noticed that he has gotten in a little bit better shape here.
Oh, yeah.
The cameraman does not zoom in on his abs, though. But they start the match running the ropes until Bourne traps on the gator roll, of course, for his new gator friends in the crowd here. King stops Bourne on the top rope and hits a nice-looking superplex for a two count. King then starts mocking the gator taunt and hits a running dropkick in the corner for a two as Vic and Booker are just bickering back and forth. And Corey is just like, you know what, guys? I'm actually just going to call the match and be professional here while you two just bickering back and forth for no apparent reason. Bourne gets a slap to the face and it pisses him off as he goes after King with a suplex and an Olympic slam for a two count. Bourne then stops the coronation attempt from Lexus here with a drop kick, and he looks like to finally get a new finisher move that looks like a zigzag, like with a neck breaker type of combination. I'm not sure if there's a name for this move, but it definitely gave me like zigzag vibes. But he held on to the neck to drop down for the neck breaker to get the pin here at 4:38. I'm just happy he stopped doing a drop kick as a finishing move, because you know this is not the 1982 or whatever. I don't know. I feel like a drop kick doesn't really
can't connect. Tito Santana, you can't drop kick or pin. But Corey called it a zigzag like maneuver. It looked like Lexus took the bump too early. That's what kind of made the move look a little weird, but it did look like a zigzag. They'll get there. I mean, it's NXT. He'll get there. I don't think the zigzag looks good enough for him to be doing. He looks good. He's got a good build. He looks like Randy Orton. I mean, I hate to compare him to Randy Orton, but he looks just like Randy Orton, like size wise. I think he needs something more devastating than the zigzag. You know, hey, I mean.
If he needs some new moves, all he's got to do is play the new DLC for 2K25, because they gave Tyrese Halliburton and Brunson all these crazy finisher moves. And I'm like, these guys cannot pull these moves out. Like, what's going on with that, B?
There's no way Jalen Brunson is doing moves? Picture this, a Phoenix Splash 360. Nope, there's no way Jalen Brunson is doing a Phoenix 630. I'm sorry. It's no way. All right, it's no way. Or he's doing the Brunson Sasuke special. It's no way he's doing.
When I saw Brunson do a Sasuke special, I'm like, well, you think like when they sign these celebrities for these games, you think like they tell them to, hey, make a list of like 10 moves that you want to do. Like, I mean, so. It's crazy.
I don't think Jalen Brunson knows who the great Sasuke is to even know what the hell a Sasuke special is. But yeah, I think Halliburton does because he's a big mark, so he probably has some input.
Didn't he say recently, like, the only thing he watches is, like, WWE? Like, the only reason he goes on Twitter is to watch, like, WWE now. So, yeah, he's definitely a bigger fan of the two.
But, yeah, Miles Morgan got to work on that finish. I don't think he should land on the zigzag. I don't think he should. Especially because, I mean, Nick's still wrestling. You know what I mean? I think he should just, it's other stuff to do. You know, do a complete shot. Who knows, Miles? I don't know.
Maybe he could take some moves from Evan Bourne, you know?
Just don't do the overdraft like Halliburton has as a finisher. Just don't do that. Used to be Randy Orton's move too, so yeah, stay away from that.
Yeah, I guess stay away from the people that you look like.
Exactly.
Bourne goes and takes the Gator title, of course, from the Gators in the crowd as he celebrates with them. We get a video, Dark State, old Dark State. They says NXT has been chaos since they came in. An NXT superstar is a TNA champion, and a Noah wrestler is going after the NXT title. Hank and Tank get dropped, and everyone thinks it's them, but they see everything, and this is their playground. As Dion Lennox says, he thinks where they finna go next, but y'all don't, as the segment ends. So very ominous words here from Dion Lennox here. But I don't know. This Dark State thing, it started, I'm not going to say hot, but at least it started with some sort of, like, presence. Like, they were presence on the show, and now they're just, like, doing these, like, vignettes every week or so, and they're not really doing anything. Like, I don't really, maybe are they the ones that kidnapped Rizzo? Because I don't know what else they're gonna do with these four, honestly.
I know, man. And it's, I like this group. I like it, even though they need to, like, change their tones a little bit more, because it does look like Baby Shield, and it doesn't help that Dion looks like Roman Waves, is what I call him. But
Color James is so robotic. Like, whenever he talks, he's like the one that doesn't fit in, because I feel like he has this very robotic. And it's funny because he came from LFG and he had that same issue. Like, the coach, like Bubba Ray and Booker got him on. Like, he just has no personality. And he's now on NXT without a personality still. He just like is the one cardboard cutout from these four. So whenever he talks, I'm just like, it takes me out of it. The other three aren't that bad, honestly, especially with Sugars and Dion Lennox. Really good.
Yeah. The thing is, though, but you know, Cino, in those groups like that, you can hide the guy who can't talk with good matches, and they just haven't been in the ring. I don't know what's going on. They need to branch Seikon Sugars off into a singles run. They need to pick two guys and let them do a tag run, and somebody just need to be there for atmosphere, because they're not in the ring. So why should we fear Dark State? You know what I mean? I don't know. See, it's enough jobbers, they can have some matches.
That's the problem with NXT being like a developmental company, because back in the day, you'd have a stable, and the guys that can't talk, they wouldn't talk. They'd just be the background, they look menacing and just snarl the whole time. But this being NXT, where they want everybody to learn how to talk, they give everybody the opportunity to talk. And it's on a mainstream show on network television, like CW. So you're going to have this guy, Color James, who can't talk. And you can tell he can't talk. So it's something that, like, we kind of have to get past. But I feel like he doesn't need to talk.
Wouldn't if he be a can't problem talk, if they were having talk. Matches though, Cino. But they're just not having matches. I wouldn't even notice he doesn't talk if they have matches every week. But I don't know. I haven't seen Seikon Sugars have a singles match, and I've seen him have singles matches every week on the Indies, and he's really, really good. I can't wait for them to finally, like, branch him off, because I think he's the leader of the group, right? Am I not mistaken?
Yeah. Comes off like it.
He should be in the North American picture right now.
So what do you think Dion Lennox's big plan is? You know, they're going to do something. What do you think they're going to do?
Hopefully win the tag belts. Hopefully. Who has them? You know, like, Hank and Tank, right? Yeah, win the tag belts.
Honestly, I was something to TNA. They still have this work relationship where they're going back and forth. Have them go to TNA and just kind of, run shit over there and just, beat up some guys over there, get some matches, some reps in there, and, possibly better yourself a little bit.
Go beat up the Hardys. Get some real heat. Yeah, get some real heat and leave Matt or Jeff Bloody in the ring or something.
Did you see the Hardy Boys recently did the whole Subway Mania thing?
Yeah, that was great. It was great, man. I love the Hardy. That's why everybody loves them, man. It's such good sports.
Yeah, they're doing a whole, like, New York tour here promoting Slammiversary. And one of the things, if people don't know, here in New York, we have Subways. And there's, like, this whole wrestling fed that happens where they have matches and they're all, like, imitating wrestlers and everything. And, Jeff and Matt had a little cameo. They didn't get physical, I don't think. I think they just came out kind of presentation. So
I all the fans, like, bugging out to see those guys, walking around in Times Square.
Imagine you're just sitting down, you got your headphones in, you're trying to go to work, and you go up and you see just Jeff Hardy doing the juking. Like, what the hell is going on right now? Like, I'll probably bug out.
Shriek like a little girl, man.
Well, the next person is not a little girl. It is a grown-ass woman, as we have Thea Hale taking on Elaine Reed. Look at that transition right there.
Look at that.
And Lady Reed. So Lady Reed is somebody I actually could talk about a little bit. So she was on Level Up for the longest time, like from 2023 to 2024. She was a white baby face and everything. She was, you know, whatever. And it didn't really work for her. And then she kind of started being a more sassy heel. And she really like molded into this real like nice heel character. When Level Up ended, she pretty much disappeared. She wasn't on Evolve. She wasn't on LFG. She kind of just didn't do anything. And then she took this break for like 6 months. And now she just kind of randomly popped back up on NXT television. And she's still doing this heel character. And I think it fits her. I don't know your first impression of Lainey Reed, but I feel like she really has like this Southern Belle, but like a mean Southern Belle attitude down pat. I think she's doing a pretty good job at it.
I dig it. Yeah, I dig it. What I don't dig is Thea Hale's music. She's another
grown ass woman.
She has the Death Rebel curse, and it already gets you out of the match before the match happens. But I'm not mad at this match. Did you want to go run through it? Because I'm not mad.
Yeah, for sure. This is a pretty quick match, but I think they both really shined here. One particular move here that really stood out here for me from Lainey Reed. So Thea starts the match with some fast and furious takedowns here on Reed, attacking her in the corner until Reed just stops her by dropping her face first in the corner and hits her with a nice looking German suplex. And then she follows this like butterfly double hook, like underhook shoulder breaker, which looked amazing for a two count here. I'm like, wow, this is like a finisher right here. And she just pulled it out like it was nothing here. Mm-hmm. Reed blocks a Kimura attempt and tries to go after put a pin here with her feet on the ropes, but the referee is able to catch her. Reed quickly follows though with a knee to the face and does get the pin here with her hand on a rope, but the referee doesn't catch it this time to get the pin here at 4 minutes and 22 seconds to get her first win here in NXT proper. But yeah, like nice little match here. It was like under 5 minutes, but this is, you know, pretty good. And Reed definitely impressed here with her offense. I feel like she was a standout out of the two here. When you think that Thea Hale would be the project, I feel like they really got some steam here and some momentum behind Reed here, because I feel like she could be, you know, has a pretty good future here if they continue to push her.
I felt like they had kind of good chemistry too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I feel like run it back. Let's get a live crowd instead of this tape crowd. Like run it back, man. Let's see how they can go. Give them more like 10 minutes. Give them 10 minutes. Let them go.
Yeah, it's funny because Reed was like one of the standouts from Level Up that like didn't go to Evolve. Everybody else did, like Callie Armstrong. Some others that kind of made the transition to Evolve, but then Lainey just kind of disappeared. And I'm like, I was very curious what happened with her. So maybe they just wanted to put her straight on NXT, and that's what they're doing here. So yeah, these two definitely have good chemistry. I'm pretty sure they've had a couple of matches on Level Up before. Mm-hmm. So definitely the chemistry is there. But I see a little bright future for Lainey Reed here. I would keep her by herself though. You don't have to put all these like mean heels with stables. That's what they would with Toxic Attraction, now Fatal Influence. I don't think Lainey needs that. I think she could stand on her own. And I feel like if they give her the right material and the right people to work with, I think she has a pretty bright future here.
NXT runs the line of having just enough factions and too many. So, yeah,
that's true. We go to the back where we have the No Quarter Cash crew here, as we have Ren Sinclair, we have Tavion Heights, Charlie Dempsey, and the mannequin wearing Tavion Heights' mask from last week, which I thought was a pretty nice touch here.
That's great.
Ren says that Tavion was so close to beating Javon Evans last week, but selfishly, she's actually happy that he didn't, because he's still in the No Quarter Cash crew. Heights blames having to wear that face mask the entire time as the reason why he lost here, which I thought was pretty funny. Charlie Dempsey says that this proves what he thought, that Heights needs more time in the NQCC. Heights says that he wants the same deal that Miles Bourne had, a one-on-one match against Dempsey, and then he can leave the group. Dempsey says, then you'll be, you have two losses in a row if you do that. But if you do want it so bad, it'll happen. But when Heights loses, this conversation won't happen again. So next week, we're going to have Charlie Dempsey versus Tavion Heights, the same deal that Miles Bourne had. If Heights wins, he's out of the group. And I feel like we're not going to get that same result, unfortunately. I think it's a little too predictable. I feel like Charlie might have something up his sleeve. He might come to a heel tactics here to make sure that Tavion stays in his group. Because I feel like he doesn't want to be all the root of the story is that Charlie doesn't want to be by himself. He wants to have a group of people with him. So he doesn't want to lose all his friends here, I feel like. So I feel like he's going to do whatever he needs to do to keep Tavion to stay part of this group.
I like Charlie Dempsey, man. I like him. Like he's just heel enough that you like, I don't like to see him on screen. You know what I mean? Like he has good heel heat. I like him. And I still think he should be carrying around that cup though. That cup is not valid if Charlie Dempsey doesn't have it. I don't think. I don't want, come on, man. My Stacks have it. So
I mean, I think the only reason Stacks has it is because Noam Dar got injured. You know, I agree with you. I feel Charlie and Noam are the only two people that can like carry that cup and like actually seem legit. Like when Stacks came out with it, he just was using it, right? Yeah, it was weird. It didn't seem right. Didn't seem right to have an Italian holding a Heritage cup.
I did not say these things.
I can say them. We get a promo from the back from Jasper Troy, who's an NXT, who says the NXT locker room lives in fears of Obafemi because he's dominant. He's invincible. He's a Titan. But did he look that way when he was in the ring with him? The NXT champion barely survived, and now he's only one match away from the rematch that he wants. Oba is only rooting for Inamura because he knows what's waiting at the Bash if he gets his hands raised tonight, talking about himself, Jasper Troy. He's going to go through Inamura tonight, and Oma might be backed by Destiny, but Oba's Destiny is Jasper's. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this guy's okay. I mean, he was one of the standouts in LFG. He didn't really get to talk too much. There was like this one promo that kind of went viral where he, I think he on CM Punk, he did a promo on CM Punk that kind of made him stand out. But he hasn't really had too much of a chance to talk here in NXT. But yeah, what are your first impressions here on Jasper Troy now that he's been here for about a month or so?
Not mad at Jasper Troy. His name is hella confusing to rap fans. But
yeah,
it's hella confusing. But I like his big man work. You know, one thing I'm starting to realize as, well, you know me, I'm a swaggy individual. I like to fit myself as a fashionable guy. But big men only can wear one thing, it seems like. You know what I mean? And it kind of like, once you see these guys and they all wear the same thing, you're kind of like, okay, what kind of chokeslam is he going to do to finish this? You know what I mean? So it's like, I seen him and he kind of looked like Black Abyss. And I was like, oh, no. Yeah. He's doing the Black Hole Slam, but he's actually pretty good. He's pretty menacing. He's wearing the chains out to the ring. He looks like a killer. The verdict is not on him yet. I'm gonna let it burn a little bit more with Jasper Troy. I mean, he's just left LFG. You know what I mean? I can't do any judgments on him yet. But I like him. He's not afraid to bump around either. So let's see how it goes.
Yeah, definitely a connection to Abyss. They even mentioned on commentary later on, and his look and, you know, everything about him, you know, even his moveset is Abyss. I think he's smart. He's like, you know what? He probably heard that Abyss was being added to 2K, and he's like, that's great. I'm gonna model myself after him so I can create myself and just steal all of Abyss's moves and looks. That's pretty much what he's doing, right?
But yeah, he'll be fine though, because what else do we have in the heavyweight division right now? Like, he's the newest addition to it, and he's the only addition to it. So I think in a year's time, we'll be talking about him with that title or going for that title potentially, too.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't checked out too much of the second season of LFG, but the first season, he was definitely one of the standouts, and I think he was the right person to win that for sure, which is funny because when I went to the NXT show they had at the MSG's theater, they had like two LFG matches, and I had no idea those were the finals. Like, right. It wasn't until I watched it on the show, I was like, oh, those are the finals. So I didn't realize I watched him like win LFG. He wasn't even like promoted at the fact, I guess they didn't want spoilers to go out on who was going to win LFG. That's but
he's yeah, not the Yeti.
No. But I agree. I feel like Jasper Troy, if they use him right, I know people are kind of get him on his like what dollar store chains or whatever, but I feel like he can make it work. He's making it work a little bit. I feel like
he'll find what his thing is going to be. Like he's trying a lot right now. He's trying the this moves. He's trying the chains. He's trying the ultra aggression. He'll find his stride. All right. He'll find out what works for him, and when it does, I think he's going to be all right.
And you could probably speak more about this, but I appreciate the fact that he's not like a stereotypical like black wrestler. You don't really see too many like black wrestlers that like to have this look and style. So I think that's a standout right away.
Black guy with dreads, and he comes out to rock music. WWE never had this before. You know what I mean? So this is a breath of fresh air.
I agree. We go to our next match: Zarya and Sol Ruka. Zaruka, as I have to begrudgingly call him that, take on Tatum Paxley and Izzy Dame. Paxley and Ruka, they start the match as Dame quickly helps Paxley on double-teaming Ruka in the corner here. Zarya and Izzy tag in, and they go back and forth, creating punches and headbutts. But during this, Paxley tags herself in and hits a top rope crossbody for a two count. Ruka tags in and hits a pair of X-Factors before Zarya puts Tatum on her shoulders like a fireman's carry style, as Ruka uses it as a surfboard and jumps off of it and hits a crossbody to Izzy on the outside. And it's funny because Zarya still has Tatum on her shoulders, so she just picks her up for a press slam and just throws her to the outside on top of her partner as we go to commercial. Nice little transition here. We come back with Izzy in control of Zarya, hitting a chokeslam before tagging in Tatum, who hits a somersault leg drop for a two count. Every time she hits a somersault leg drop, it really stands out. It's like one of her like moves that like she needs to continue doing because it looks really nice when she does this here. Booker goes on about GPSs, where Vic says, who the hell even uses a GPS anymore? We all use like apps or whatever, maps. And Booker's like, I still use Waze, you know? Waze, I'm like, yeah, that's not technically GPS, right?
It's like all night Booker was on it, man.
He was on it for two shows back here. All four ladies go at it until Izzy stops Zarya with a code breaker, but as she goes to tag out, Tatum isn't there because she was taken out on the outside. But Tatum runs back in just in time to push Izzy out of the way as Zarya was able to spear her, but instead she spears her own partner, Sol Ruka, by accident, as Tatum then sends Zarya to the outside, and Izzy hits the sky high on Ruka to pick up the win here at 9 minutes and 51 seconds. Always love a Sky High. Shout out to D'Lo Brown here. Yeah. But this is probably the best match of the show. It definitely got the most time. It almost was like 10 minutes. Every other match was like, you know, less than 5 minutes except the main event. But this probably was my standout match. I feel like these four definitely clicked together. That's a pretty good chemistry.
It was my favorite finish for sure. Not just because it was Sky High, but it like everything that came together when it comes to the spear and everything came together perfectly. And I'm just happy that we could potentially be breaking up Zoruk. Oh man. Oh.
I think so.
I get the mana, brother.
It's just I feel like here's the thing though. So for Evolution, they set up this four-way tag match, right? You have the new tag team champions of Roxanne and Raquel taking on a team from Raw, a team from SmackDown, and a team from NXT. Mm-hmm. Who's the team from NXT? My first thought was it's got to be Zarya and Sol Ruka, but
Izzy and Tatum.
But Izzy and Tatum there instead.
Izzy and Tatum. Get we got to break up Zaruka, man. We got to now. Like the spear was the first stone laid down. And they just lost. So they don't deserve a title match right now.
True.
You know, so yeah, let them rock, break this stuff up. Because if you listen to Up Next, you've already heard, I feel the exact same way Braden Davies been talking about Zaruka and how like this team is just not it. You got this monster that Zarya was supposed to be. And you see her entrance for 30 seconds, and then here comes the cool surfer girl. You know what I mean? It's like, no.
It's a weird
that's not what
right?
I wanted.
Like, I don't when they first introduced her, she was like this Mad Max character, whatever. And then she got paired up with like the surfer. It's really weird because like on their own, they're probably going to be, they could be stars. I can see Zarya have a big future.
Absolutely.
And same thing with Soruka. She's already a star. But why put them together? I feel like they only put them together just so they can eventually feud. But I feel like they end up staying together a lot longer than they expect them to. I don't know why. I feel like it was supposed to be a shorter tag team. For whatever reason, they just kept them together.
I think it's time now because you just thinned the division out when you lost Stephanie and Julia. So I think maybe they paired them up because they knew they had to get those championship rounds on Steph and Julia. So now, what do you got? You know what I mean? So we can break stuff off. We can have Sol Ruka going for the NXT Women's Championship. We can have Zarya take that North American from Sol Ruka. We can do these things now because we don't have the big monsters, the juggernauts at the top. All you got is, you got a juggernaut at the top, but you don't have the other two. You know what I mean? So like it's room at the top now. So it's time to break up this tag team that was just put together for no reason.
We're going to take since we got a little time here, I feel like we're going to take a little elite detour. So we have a juggernaut in NXT, right? We have a Mad Max character. We have a surfer. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since WWE has had a dentist. Do you think NXT could use a dentist?
I'm looking off to my fourth wall camera right now, Sino.
Are you staring at me?
I'm looking off to my break the fourth wall cam. Absolutely. You know what? I think they're going to contact Britt Baker. I think so.
Yeah.
Along with the other people too that you're talking about, what, Danhausen and Private Party?
Private Party for sure. I could definitely see Private Party. Like I don't know what happened with Private Party, honestly. I know we talked about this on What Up though. We went into depth about them, but yeah, I feel like they'd be perfect for NXT. Like they put the titles on them just to give the titles, and they dropped them, and we haven't seen them since. And I feel like they would just be perfect for NXT. They call them something else. They won't be the Private Party. They'd be the what name did I give them? The Secret. Secret substance. I don't know what I gave them, some other name, but they wouldn't be Private Party. But they fit perfectly in NXT, I feel like.
I'll think of the name and I'll post it in the Poison Rana group. But I think Danhausen would be pretty cool in WWE. Not just because he's from Detroit, shout out to boy, but I think he would be pretty cool, like the curse gimmick. I think it'd be pretty cool, especially with like how things are going right now, like NXT or WWE proper, Danhausen would be okay. And he'll make so much merchandise money. It'll be ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Definitely.
He'll be super over it. The kids will love him. Yeah.
I agree. They lost Shotzi. They lost Gigi Dolan. They need a new host for Halloween Havoc, right? And I feel like Danhausen will be the perfect person for that for sure. I agree. He'd be a merch mover for sure. Private Party would definitely get over. And I honestly think Britt Baker would do pretty well in NXT as well. But yeah.
You think she'll go to NXT though? I think Britt's a SmackDown girl.
Yeah, but we said the same thing about Mariah May, right? Or Blake Monroe. But I don't know. I feel like they want to at least put him in NXT for a little bit just to see like how it is. But I don't know. She asked for her release like the week before Evolution, so maybe she's trying to be in that battle royal. Who really knows at this point?
I'm not mad at that. Yeah, I'm not mad at that at all.
I can see
and hopefully we see the other girls from other organizations in that battle royal, though. So
yeah, I agree. I agree. We go to the back. Ava is with Ricky Saints and Ethan Page, who is backed by the Vanity Project, as Saints says that he doesn't need the peanut gallery here, and he wants his rematch. Page says that they're only here for Saints' safety here, because he might have to send them back to the hospital. Page says that going forward, he'll be dictating everything about the North American Championship on his terms. Page says that he can earn a title shot if Saints survives the Vanity Project gauntlet. As the Evolved champion there, Jackson Drake starts coughing to mock Saints here with his little throat injury here. Saints says that when he wins the gauntlet, he'll get to dictate the stipulation for his rematch that Ava agrees to. So here's my little, this is where my my Evolve watching comes in handy. So we've only seen three people from the Vanity Project here in NXT. We've seen Swipe Wright, who is Ricky Smokes and okay. Brad Baylor. And we've seen Jackson Drake, who is your Evolved champion. Now, there is other members of the Vanity Project, as I go ahead and I'll let you know, because you probably have never seen this guy before. So
please,
not that lady in the front. That is Zeta Steele. She's part of the women's division. But this guy right here in the background, this this menacing guy with these shades and this long hair, that is a one Bryce Donovan, who is like their muscle, their big guy. So in my eyes, I feel like this is going to be the whole plot of this this gauntlet match. He's going to go through all three members of the Vanity Project, and you know Ricky Saints is going to be celebrating, thinking he's won, just to come to find out there is another member of the Vanity Project, and he won Bryce Donovan. I'm pretty sure they did the same exact storyline in Evolve, where somebody had to, yeah, it was what's his name? Sean Legacy. He had to run through a gauntlet match, and he literally lost to Bryce Donovan in the last match. So I feel like they're gonna repeat and reuse the same exact storyline here for NXT, where Ricky Saints is gonna go through three members just to lose to the big Bryce Donovan at the very end. That's my my prediction for next week. What do you think about that?
He dude? Looks so much like a Bryce Donovan. I don't know what to do. You know, first of all, I want to say I love the Vanity Project's look. I have watched Evolve like once or twice on an off day for no reason. Pretty good. I love their look. I don't know where WWE found the most three of the most punchable faces they could find in the world, but like they look great. They should stay. They shouldn't be with Ethan Page. They should just be close associates. Anytime he needs some goons, he should be calling the Vanity Project. You know, he should not, they shouldn't be with him, but they look like the New Age Mean Street Posse. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, it's literally Ethan Page is Shane McMahon, and he's bringing in the Mean Street Posse.
Yeah, with Skinny Test back there. But no, I'm digging this, though. Like
Quiz. That's Quiz.
This is what we need, though. This is what we need. We need three guys that's going to make you hate them just off looks. You know what I mean? You don't like these guys. Look at them. But no, they're pretty good in ring, though. I have you watched Evolve? They're pretty fun.
I'm actually shocked they haven't brought in Zeta Steele, the young lady here in the front here. She was a big standout in MLW. I'm like, yeah, she's going to be a star. As soon as I saw her wrestle in MLW, I'm like, yeah, WWE's going to pick her up. And here, what do you know? She's part of the ID program. I'm just shocked that she hasn't been used on WWE proper. But I feel like maybe she's going to be one of the random names in the Battle Royal. Who knows? But I feel like it's going to be not too long until we see a Miss Zeta Steele in WWE for sure.
NXT's pretty crowded, though, so.
True.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Speaking of crowded and speaking of stables, we go to another Chase U segment as
another
Andre Chase
transition. Jesus Christ, you know, just full up in the day.
Andre Chase is reflecting on what happened last week. He's apologizing. He said it's time for this old dog to learn some new tricks. So he apologizes to Kale Dixon and Uriah Connors. And if it wasn't for them, he wouldn't have reopened Chase U. So next week he got Kale Dixon a singles match with Uriah in his corner, so he could show everyone that he's fucking Chase U tough. So when he first said this, I thought they're going to set up Dixon versus Uriah, but he did throw in the point that Uriah was going to be in his corner. So that kind of threw me off. So they didn't announce who his opponent is, but it looks like he at least got him a match. Is it going to be against Andre himself? Is it going to be against a former member of Chase U coming back? I don't know. Like who's this mysterious person that Kale Dixon is going to have to go against?
I hope it's Duke Hudson, right?
That'd be great.
I hope so. Why not? I mean, what is Duke doing? We haven't seen him on Indies, have we?
Yeah, a couple here or there, but nothing too major. I feel like he showed up like WrestleMania weekend, if I'm not mistaken, but he hasn't showed up like in TNA or any of the major promotions, I feel like. Not yet, at least.
Well, TNA is WWE, but when I see him Cedric pop, I was like, well, he's still in WWE. But yeah, I would hope it's Duke Hudson. I would hope. That'd be great.
Or the other guy. What's the other guy's name? Bodie Hayward. Yeah, bring him back.
Come on. Come on.
Guy, blonde Bo Dallas.
Yeah,
bring him back.
Bodie. No.
He definitely hasn't done anything since leaving WWE. That I know for a fact. He disappeared.
I'm 100% certain that he hasn't done anything.
I'm pretty sure he maybe did like a Ring of Honor match, but I feel like everybody knows a Ring of Honor match.
I got two Ring of Honor matches. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were a tag team once.
Yeah, we
teamed up once.
Yeah.
Kelly Kincaid is in the back with Joe Henry and Mike Santana. As Santana says, they might have to throw hands at Slammiversary, but they have united when it comes to defending TNA from Trick Williams and the High Rise. Hmm. Kincaid says that they will be teaming up next week to take on the High Rise. Henry says that he doesn't think he'll be invited to the Santana barbecue anytime soon, but they have one thing in common, and that is to bring the TNA World Championship back to TNA. Santana says Henry is a cornball, but he still reps TNA to the max. But Santana will be the one to bring the TNA World title back where it belongs. Kincaid says that at a Great American Bash before Slammiversary, they're actually going to have a contract signing between Trick, Henry, and Santana. So as predicted, I feel like Santana is going to be the destined one, the chosen one to take the title, especially with the show being in New York. But I feel like it was inevitable for him to be part of this match. When they first announced Trick versus Henry, I'm like, no, Santana's going to get involved somehow. So I'm happy they just went ahead and made it a triple threat, because I feel like Santana's going to be the one to take this title and then maybe transition Henry to WWE proper, I feel like.
Yeah, and then, well... Yeah, we could transition Joe to WWE proper, but I'm just waiting for the Mike Santana transition to NXT or WWE, because, man, when that match he had on NXT, it was such a good pop. Like, even following him on, like, social media and stuff, I felt so happy for that man that he did that match NXT. Like, he seemed so grateful. He was saying, like, it was always a dream and stuff. Like, I was so happy for him, man. Like, so
yeah.
I would love for him to be NXT proper or... But I'm just happy that we got this partnership with TNA right now, that we can get these matches even in the first place. Trick Williams has the TNA championship. It's insane. I can't wait for this match, though.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Yeah. I don't think, like, Joe Hendry ever, like, wowed me in the ring. But I feel like this triple threat is going to be to really showcase, like, all right, he can really go.
Yeah, Santana, he's one of the guys that, like, he's one of the guys that after he was released from AEW and didn't go to WWE, and he really, like, reinvented himself. Like, I talk about House of Glory all the time. Whenever he comes out for House of Glory show, that entire crowd is, like, jumping up and down. So when I saw that live, I'm like, when he does this at NXT, he's going to be crazy over, and we already see that here. So
he never complained either. Yeah.
No, never complained, and he's been busting his ass, like, you know, since he left, you know, for sure. And I feel like the formula has been, like, at least with the TNA partnership, is, like, you know, you work with somebody from TNA, they drop the title, and they eventually go to WWE. Happened to Jordan Grace. I feel like it's going to happen to Joe Henry. So I feel like, yeah, give the title to Santana, have him run shit in a TNA for a little bit, and then eventually when he drops the title, he can make his way over to WWE. He just dropped the House of Glory world title, so he's already, like, making steps, I feel like, to maybe possibly join WWE. But I feel like he needs to have his time at the top of TNA for a little bit. You know, while Joe Henry makes his transition, have Mike Santana be the top dog in TNA for about 6 months or so, then eventually, whenever his contract is up, bring him over to NXT, because I feel like he'd be perfect for that. And imagine him, like, on SmackDown. I couldn't really imagine him transition to the main roster, getting crazy over, like, to the levels of, like, LA Knight, honestly. That's how much my ceiling is for a Mike Santana, for sure.
I feel like he's real enough to be on, like, Raw, though. I feel like he got that enough Raw emotion. Not just saying because the show's Raw, but, like, just... I just feel like he needs a Netflix crowd. You know what I'm saying? Like, he might slip up a couple
times.
Yeah.
I just want to see him feud with Dominic Mysterio. I feel like that'd be a crazy feud. Just him, like, just smacking the shit of the Dominic for talking out of pocket or whatever. I can see that being, like, a perfect feud for him, Santana and Dominic.
Or, you know, or him and Priest or something. Because it seemed like, you know what I mean? I feel like he should run through... I feel like he could run through a couple guys that I know he would have good chemistry with. I feel like him and Priest would be good. I feel like him and Dominic would be good. I feel like him and it was someone I was just thinking about. I was like, man, that'd be crazy. Him and Oba, like, to finally get, I don't know, but Oba probably be in the main by then. You know what I mean? Like, if it was TNA champion versus, you know what I mean? I think him and Oba would be crazy.
Muggin wants him to spin the block on Dom Dom. Yeah, I think that's going to happen. I can see him like literally beating the shit out of Dominic. I mean, that'd be a really good story for him. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. Let's start with NXT. The consensus is we think very highly of Mike Santana here. And I feel like we both think he's going to have a really, really big future no matter where he goes.
That's right.
The Culling is in the back with Tatum Paxley as Ava congratulates them for their win tonight and says because of that, Izzy will now take on Sol Ruka for the North American title at the Great American Bash. Hank and Tech walk in, and they start blaming the Culling for attacking them. This is funny. They said the only evidence we have was a black steel chair. I guess the Culling is the only ones that can use a black steel chair? Like, there's no other person? Like, what other color steel chairs do we see in wrestling? Like,
unless it was, like, sitting in the middle of the, like, hallway.
like unless it's a Culling on it. Like, I feel like every steel chair is a black steel chair. I don't know. Like, the fact that they thought it was them just because it was a black steel chair, I thought was hilarious. I don't know.
It was the black glove, I guess. I don't know.
Tatum tells them that they're so big and so bad to put those tag team titles on the line next week. So Ava makes it official. We're going to have Nico Vance and Sean Spears challenging for the tag titles against Hank and Tank, as well as Izzy Dame. Well, that's going to be next week at NXT. And then Izzy Dame's going to be challenging Sol Ruka for the North American title at a Great American Bash. Can you see either of these titles changing hands?
No. No. Well, wait, it was Izzy Dame and Sol Ruka, right? You said?
Izzy Dame is challenging Sol Ruka for a North American title. And then Sean Spears and Nico Vance are challenging Hank and Tank for the tag titles next week.
No, it crushed my theory about Izzy Dame and Tatum Paxley going for the tag belts. So no. And no, I don't think Hank and Tank should lose their belts yet. Not at all. Especially Sean Spears.
I can honestly see Izzy Dame winning. I can see even though I like your idea of Izzy and Tatum being in that tag title match, for some reason I feel like they haven't earned it just yet, only because they just established themselves as a tag team. So okay. I can honestly see Izzy possibly getting that title, and that could be another crack in the Sol Ruka Zarya thing. Like Zarya could be the one that cost her the match by accident, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that can further establish their breakup and then have Izzy hold the title with help from Tatum Paxley, and that makes her officially a member of the Culling. There's so many different things you can loose ends you could tie up by having that result, I feel like. Hank and Tank losing the tag titles, I can't see that happening. Not yet. Just, you know, I feel like if you're going to put the title on Izzy Dame, I don't think you need to put the tag titles on other members of, you know, the Culling. Timu Judgment Day here. You can't have them all holding the titles like you're doing on Monday Night Raw. The Judgment Chair. We go to our main event, Big Meaty Men Slapping Meat here. Jasper Troy versus Yoshiki Inemura, with the winner taking on Obafemi at the Great American Bash. So yeah, right away, Corey Graves is comparing Jasper Troy to Abyss. And have you played as Abyss in 2K? Because that's the first person I played at when I downloaded the DLC this week. You got the TNA music and everything. You got the entrance.
Oh my God.
Amazing. I love it.
Giving goosebumps. Totally, man. All day long. When I heard that music hit for the first time, I was like, oh, they did it. Oh, they did it. Even seeing the video of Biz watching himself do the entrance, it was cool too, man.
It's weird how it works out, because he works for WWE, but the Abyss character is owned by TNA, so they must have some sort of agreement where that allowed it to, which makes you think he owns the Abyss character.
Oh, he owns the music. I think he owns.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, regardless, I hope this opens the door for more TNA versions of characters being added to 2K. I want to see the TNA AJ Styles with the music. You know what I mean?
What music though?
Both, all of them.
Get ready to fly. Who else would you like to see? Just a quick sidebar, just one person.
One person from TNA. I don't know. That's a good question.
I would like to see a Beer Money showcase. Well, I would like to see a TNA showcase.
Gail Kim. Almost. Gail Kim, that's my name.
Okay, yeah that's a good one. I was just saying Beer Money. Just give me Beer Money. You know what I mean? Or We can't do LAX, so but you know, either that or Primetime Eagle Skipper or somebody, man. I don't know, baby. I don't know, but I love that we're integrating TNA into the games now.
Yeah, I feel like the next game is gonna be crazy next year. I feel like they're gonna have the AAA pack with La Parca and AAA Legends. They're gonna have TNA pack with Gail Kim, Amazing Kong, Awesome Kong could be in it. That'd be pretty cool. Yep. But it's always cool to see other characters from other organizations be thrown in these video games. Absolutely. But back to the match. Obafemi's in the back watching on as Inemura tries to wear down Troy. He gets into a sumo position as commentary talks about his sumo background, just for Troy to stop him with a sidewalk slam for a two count. Booker starts going off of that they aren't in Japan for some reason. We're not in Japan, we're in America. And then Gray starts telling him that Japan has monsters as well, such as Godzilla, Lord Tensai, and Giant Bernard. So shout out to one of the workers back there in his previous gimmicks. We come back from commercial as Troy is just destroying Inemura with a flurry of splashes. He's three back-to-back here, but he only gets a two count here. Inemura goes at Troy with a whole bunch of forearms, but gets stopped with a boss man slam or a black hole slam for a two count. Inamura comes back with a pair of big body slams before going to the top rope. It wasn't quite a frog splash. It was kind of like an axe handle splash. I'm not sure what he calls it, to pick up the win here at 7 minutes and 50 seconds. A good match here. Like I said, two big meaty men slapping meat. The right person won here. The right person went over in Inamura. And the more I watch him, the more I like him. I feel like he's really adapting to the WWE, especially NXT style here. I feel like he is standing out here. He's actually impressing a lot of people in the crowd here. And I kind of want to see how he shows off in a you know, main event for a PLE, taking on Obafemi. I feel like that might be a sleeper hit that weekend.
He still lays into his moves, which I appreciate, but they've been putting him against people he can. You know what I mean? It's not too much. I mean, that's what you take every move that Inamura could throw at him. So I did like this match, though, especially for like me. I'm not that. I don't know. I haven't seen many Inamura matches solo, but like, yeah, it was still pretty fun. The crowd loves him, so I was digging this match.
Can you see him potentially taking the title off of Oba, or do you think that's a little too soon?
No, that's a little bit too much to be asking right now. I don't think I can't see who beats Oba.
That's the thing. That's why I presented that question, because like I don't see too many people. Yeah, Ricky Saints is somebody down the line for sure, but like yeah, there isn't really too many people here in NXT that I could see like dethroning Oba. I could see Inamura, but not quite yet. I feel like he needs a little bit more polishing, a little bit more, you know, character development before he takes the title off of Oba, but I can see it down the line. But yeah, I think this match is going to be a really good match. But the segment wasn't over, because Obafemi comes out, has a little bit of a stare down with Inamura as the match is now official for Great American Bash. But during all this, Javon Evans attacks Jasper Troy from behind with a springboard cutter. So it looks like we might be getting that match as well added to the Great American Bash card.
Like an Extreme Rules or something, though.
Jasper and Javon chain match.
I like that. I think Javon needs to earn his stripes. And I think Jasper needs, if you're going to be Black Abyss, you need to embrace some hardcore. And that, the way he looks, it looks like he's a little bit hardcore. You know what I mean? It looks like he wants to put you through some tables and stuff. Let's get that going right now. You know what I mean? Let's not wait. And the Great American Bash needs a big messy match. So yeah,
I agree. That'd
be the one.
I agree. We're going to go over the lineups of a lot of NXT cards in the next couple weeks or so between Great American Bash, Evolution, and their own show. For sure, we'll go over that at the end of this. But the final segment of the night is Jordynne Grace makes her way to the ring. I don't even know what the hell her theme song even says in the beginning now. Like,
oh boy.
She got Death Rebel, right? But it's some catchphrase that I don't know what it even was. Like,
you will not something. I don't know. It's weird. It's a bad song.
I'm the juggernaut, bitch. I don't know what it says.
If it said that, it'd be cool.
She says that getting to this point in her career is the hardest thing that she's ever had to do. But last week reminded her that she thrives under pressure. The bigger the battle, the bigger the win. Now she's going to walk into Evolution, not just for WWE, but for women's wrestling. And this time she's not watching from the sidelines. She's now part of it. And she's going to make history alongside the best women's wrestlers in the world. She has to be someone who she says she's terrified of being, and that's vulnerable, as she asks herself if she's even good enough to be here and if she really even belongs to WWE. She said that she grew up thinking that she wasn't even born to be a WWE superstar, but she did everything in her power to get there. She became someone they couldn't ignore, so at Evolution, she's going to beat JC Jane and remind herself of who she really is. Of course, she gets interrupted by Fatal Influence as JC Jane comes out and says she asks Jordynne if she's done with this sob story and congratulates her for making this the highlight of her career. She knows Grace can bench press more than her, but she can't carry this division. She'll never carry it the way that she will. Nice little line here with the bench
press.
Good
line, right? Carrying it.
She can keep flexing her muscles and hope that one day a championship will magically fall into her arms, but it won't be her NXT Women's Championship and it won't be at Evolution. She says that everyone wants her or calls her the most beatable champion in the history, but she's at the top of her game. They can keep crying, but she's going to continue winning. And JC continues, says that Grace and Blake Monroe are cut from the same cloth here and think that they can just walk up in NXT and everyone will bow to their feet. The Fatal Influence will always be there to remind them where they stand. Grace cuts her off and tells her to shut up and says that she's going to be her Evolution. But of course, Fatal Influence stops her and starts attacking her before Blake Monroe comes out and helps Grace take them out. Ava comes out and announces that Great American Bash, it'll be Fallon Henley and JC Jane teaming up against Jordynne Grace and Blake Monroe. JC and Fallon run back in just to get taken out again as the show goes off the air. So that's our big tag match for the Great American Bash for the champion here with JC Jane. Mm-hmm. Do you see this a partnership lasting between Blake Monroe and Jordynne Grace, or do you feel like this could be a red herring to maybe a quick heel turn from one Blake Monroe?
It shouldn't last long. It shouldn't. I mean, they're the two biggest personalities in the women's division in NXT right now. Only thing is they don't have the title. So it shouldn't last long. They shouldn't be partners long. I don't know what we're doing with Blake Monroe. is she heel? Is she not?
I feel like she needs to be a heel. I feel like she's better as a heel, honestly.
She should not be a babyface. If with that being said, she has to screw over Jordynne Grace, right?
Yeah.
She has to. It's the only way we get out of that. But I don't know how I felt about the beatdown afterwards. It's a little stiff. It was only a little stiff because everyone had extremely high shoes on, and I think they were really not trying to trip over themselves and hit their spots if they needed to. But it's okay segment. You know what I mean? JC Jane sound good and surprised me. I like when the heel takes the position of everybody's mad because I'm champion. I like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm going to keep winning. I dig it. She delivered her lines well. I'm just not, you know, we used to such prestigious women's champions in NXT. This is like, you're going to have to do a lot, JC, to like hold this title past another like pay-per-view cycle, man. Like, I don't know. I just think they're going to flip it to either Blake Monroe or Jordynne Grace as soon as possible.
Yeah. I feel like the fact that they keep presenting her being a beatable champion, I feel like, you just got to like have this crazy run, which I can't see her having, or she's going to just drop the title right away, which I feel like that's probably the better choice, especially at a show like Evolution, having Jordynne Grace. I feel bad for Jordynne Grace. She came in, right? She had all this momentum, aura about her, right? Mm-hmm. And then she got overshadowed by Julia. And then yep. She got overshadowed again by Stephanie McCare. And where are they now? They're both on Raw and SmackDown. But Jordynne Grace is still here. And she's the only one that didn't win the title. Like, Julia and Stephanie won, but she didn't win. So I feel like to give her due, on one of the biggest spotlights for women's wrestling, at least, would be like this Evolution show. So why not crown her at that show and make her the champion? I feel like that would be the right decision.
She needs her damn music back. And yeah, you can't have... When she came out, I didn't know who was coming out. And because it's such a bad song. And the fact that she had to say something about it... Like, I'm used to hearing those sirens when I know Jordynne Grace is coming out. You know what I mean? Everybody is. So, it's no reason. I don't know. I know WWE's going through something with Death Rebel right now. Hopefully, they get the boot. We don't know. But, yeah, they got to switch that back to her, man. Half of her aura was that Big Mommy Pump thing. You know what I mean? That was half of her Jordynne Grace aura since I've known her. You know what I mean? So
at least keep the sirens. If you're gonna give her new music, keep the sirens. Like, they're not even
and
sirens.
Take the catchphrases out the beginning of these songs.
I feel like that's their excuse of like how they're gonna know who this person is. Oh, we'll have them say something in the beginning that they relate to or whatever. I don't understand this because I was in the impression that Jordynne Grace owned her theme song. Like, when she came over to TNA, she was using it for a couple months or whatever, because I'm pretty sure she said she owned it, and then whatever reason they had to change it. I really don't know why, honestly. I don't know.
You know what? It's probably some kind of copyright. You know, we're both in the music. It's probably something about one of those sirens or something like that, that they just were like, we ain't paying for that. It has to be something, because if she owns it, there's no reason to change the song, because it's just sirens and guitar riffs.
Yeah, maybe it's temporary. Who knows? But I agree, especially Evolution. Like, at least use it for one night. If you can pay for it for one night, just use it, because to have her win the title while this like unknown song is playing in the background is pretty shitty.
Does Bron Breakker's song still have sirens in the beginning?
Ooh, it does. You think that could be the reason why? They don't want too many sirens?
Possibly. I mean, he is the nephew of the siren guy. So, he might have dibs on that. But that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Like, it's that song is so bad, dog. It's so bad. Yeah. But that, like I said, that's half her aura point. She lost negative 10 HP when that song came out. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. But I'm still rocking with Jordynne Grace, though. Still.
But next week, it's a big week for NXT, starting with their Tuesday show, as they have Kale Dixon taking on this mysterious competitor. You have The Culling, Nico Vance, and Sean Spears challenging Hank and Tank for NXT tag titles. Mm-hmm. Joe Hendry and Mike Santana representing TNA, teaming up to take on Tyreek Igwe and Tyson DuPont of the High Rise. You have Tavian Heist trying to win his freedom against Charlie Dempsey here, and Ricky Saints taking on the gauntlet of the Vanity Project of Brad Baylor, Jackson Drake, Ricky Smokes, and possibly more. Who knows? That's on Tuesday's show. And then you have the Great American Bash, which is on the 12th, which has Blake Monroe and Jordynne Grace taking on Fatal Influences, Phelan Haley, and Chasey Jane. Mm-hmm. Izzy Dame challenging Sol Ruka for the North American Women's title, and Yoshiki Inamura challenging Olba Fenny for the NXT title. And I'm pretty sure they could probably add a match or two. I agree. I think Javon Evans and Jasper Troy will be added to that. And then the Evolution, you have Jordynne Grace challenging Chasey Jane for an NXT Women's title. Mm-hmm. This mysterious tag team is going to be part of the Fatal 4-Way for the Women's tag titles. And then, of course, you have this Battle Royal, which could have, I'm sure, a numerous member of NXT talent for sure. So, yeah, pretty busy week for NXT the next couple of days or so.
You see any callbacks coming for like Battle Royal or like anything else?
Yeah, I mean for sure Nikki Bella, right? Because I feel like she was slated to have that match with Liv Morgan, and then obviously
I mean like recent releases. Do you see anybody like getting a nod to come back for the Battle Royal?
That's a good question. I would like Cora Jade and like Gigi Dolan and Shotzi. I would say no because I feel like all three are already thriving on the indies. Like they the second they were free, they jumped it like crazy. Like, those three are like indies, racing yeah. to have to see who's gonna have the most matches in indies. So I can't see either one of those three. Maybe somebody like Katana Chance, maybe Kid and Carter. Like I feel like they haven't done anything since leaving. Maybe I can see one of those two pop up. Maybe
true. You know what's crazy? Because we're going into Evolution. We need a mystery tag team. This would be perfect for Metaphor. But here we go. Mm. You know, and if you listen to What Up, though, you would hear me championing Metaphor, Jakar, and I'm sorry. I forget her name already. And Lash Legend. What was the problem? The WWE Tag Team Women's Championships have no momentum. And this is like you actually have a tag team who's been working together, who looks good together, and you just get rid of one of them. I know you want to do your single solo thing with Lash, but like at least give him a tag team championship run. What was the problem? Jakar got so much better before you let her go.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why I break up all these tag teams. Same thing with you know Gigi and Shotzi.
Because you're right. The only tag team they can put in that mystery spot is Zoruka, and they look like they're gonna break up in like a week.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Overall, the show was okay. None of the matches really stood out for me. Like I said, the tag match was probably my standout match with Zoruka against Izzy and Tatum. The main event was pretty good with Jasper and Inamora. But like all the other matches were kind of pretty much like, you know, under 5 minute squash matches. Like I actually enjoyed the Eleni Reed and Thea Hale for what it was. You know, short match, but I feel like they both stood out, especially Eleni Reed. But overall, it was a tape show. It felt like a tape show, honestly. I feel like this week and last week, I think both kind of suffered. I feel like the fact that they were taping two shows, neither one of them really stood out with anything too monumental, I feel like. Maybe they didn't want to do too much because all this crossover at TNA and kind of crossing wires. But what should we say? What should we not? Maybe they took it a little bit easy. But yeah, overall, I think it was an okay show. Not on the higher end the last couple of months or so, for sure.
Yeah, if you're an NXT fan, you know these take shows can get like this. It is what it is. You know, you got to take them a stride. But I don't want to do this, but I haven't done it Up Next in a while. But man, I sure do miss the old days of like linear stories in NXT when something would go from 9 o'clock to 10. I mean, from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, dude. And it's just like the entire cast of the show was helping this one story. And it seems like they just can't right now because they just don't have the people in the men's divisions. The women's division is doing fine, you know, but I don't feel the men's division right now. You know, I love Javon Evans. I like Ricky Saints. Oba is my guy. That's three people I just named. You know what I mean? So I can't. Wes Lee, they kind of dropping the ball on right now. His guys, his goons, they're dropping the ball on those guys. They're doing nothing but wearing tight clothes and coming out to the ring. But I like Tyson and Tyreek, man. They could be something. But I feel like the men's division has taken such a backseat right now. That the only thing you're interested in right now is the women's division NXT. But
if it wasn't for this partnership with TNA, the men's division would be even worse. Because I feel like Joe Henry's helping out, Mike Santana's helping out. They could probably bring some more people from TNA to help out their men's division, honestly, because there really isn't too many people out there. They want to like sign a top free agent. They're really, you know, they're probably better off just bringing in people from NOAH, like Inamora, and people from TNA like Santana, Henry. Because I agree, yeah, their women's division has never really been an issue in NXT, but their men's division does have its like a. His ups and downs, and right now it's a pretty bad down. I'm more interested in the TNA world title picture than I am the NXT title. I feel like I'm more interested in what's happening with Trick Williams, you know. And I feel like they probably know that the fact that they put the TNA title on one of their top guys definitely shows.
They got a safe champion with Oba Femi though, so I can't argue with them right now.
Yeah, I feel like they can definitely put the rocket behind Ricky Saints. Right now, he's a little tied up with Ethan Page, but I feel like once that's all said and done, he should probably be the person to carry the NXT world title, I feel like.
Absolutely. Sure. Yep.
We have one piece of feedback here from Muggin on the Facebook Poison Rana page. If you're not a member, please join today so you can leave feedback every week for Up Next, as well as all the other shows that they do on the Poison Rana feed. But Muggin says, it's abundantly clear that JC Jane's insecurity is firmly on her sleeve ever since she won the title. She's being defensive about the label of being beatable and Jordan's vulnerability over coming up short time and again when the title's at stake is the other side of the coin. Not to mention Fallon's latent jealousy of playing second fiddle in her own group. The call is going to come from inside the house. Those wrinkles enhanced the match at Evolution, but NXT didn't forget about the bash. Blake Monroe's in a big spot during a big weekend of wrestling as a tag match has major implications. Speaking of Evolution, I hope Zaruka is in the four-way for the women's tag titles. Yeah, we don't see anybody else in it, Morgan, honestly. Good for Inamura that his excursion led to a title match against Oba, and I like the loose connection to Evolve with the Vanity Project rubbing shoulders with Ethan Page. A serviceable episode that he says he sped through it since Netflix uploaded the whole thing so I could fast forward through the filler. I didn't realize that, so I guess Netflix, when they put up the tape shows, you could just fast forward through it, I guess. So,
I didn't know that either.
Good to know. We don't have the privilege in Detroit to watch NXT on Netflix, so
yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. Have you never signed up NordVPN using the code Post Wrestling?
I have to sign back up.
I'll be honest with you. I use Netflix when it comes to SmackDown and NXT because I don't have cable, so I can't even watch like the USA Network. So it kind of makes sense for me. So, but that is it for us. I was gonna say this week, but it's the only week, at least for now, for the time being. And so another Canada Day comes along, or Davey and Braden need another day off, and one of us or both of us are able to fill in. But if you want more of us, like I said, you can go back and listen to the most recent episode of What Up Doe, right here on the Poison Rana feed. And then we'll have another episode, I want to say, probably in a couple weeks or so after I come back from my trips. I feel like we'll have a lot to talk about for sure.
Yeah, so if you want to hear anybody talk about Squid Games, you want to hear some people talking about Jurassic Park movie, anything media, any movies, any video games coming up in this next week, or next month, I'm sorry, next couple weeks, give us a listen over at What Up Doe on a Poison Round and Feed. So, you know.
Yep, and right here for Pulse Wrestling, anybody that's a Patreon, you can listen to me every week on Collision Course. This Saturday, me and Kay will talk about Collision 100. So yes, even though Dynamite 300 is tonight, don't forget about Collision having their 100th episode. So big, a monumental show. Hopefully, that'll have a pretty big card, just like tonight's Dynamite that we'll be able to discuss this Saturday. And yeah, listen to all thing Poison Rana, all thing Pulse Wrestling. Like I said, JFK review coming up next week. Tomorrow, they're going to have the Evolution 2018 review, and they'll be back live this Sunday at 2 p.m. at youtube.com/PoisonRana. That's it. That's all. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and enjoy the rest of your hot, scorching day. It's so hot here. I know we were talking about this off the air, but it's so freaking hot. So stay cool out there. Yeah, please stay cool. Refresh. Give your pets all the water. Give yourself all the hydration you need. And that is all. Take care, guys. Have a good day.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you could never really know what's up next.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.